Welcome and good evening, and I messed this up again.
Yes, you did.
Yes, I did. Okay, well, I'm just going to continue. Welcome to Geek Culture Online. I'm your host, Patrick Boland, and this is the end of Phase 1 of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. We're talking about the Avengers tonight. I am here with Larry and Ethan again.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes. And now, a lot of things have been going on in the news and in the sports world. Awesome. But we're just going to dive right into the film because we want to get to these things. Now, Avengers.
Right. This is the Avengers from 2012. The Avengers 1 is what
yes.
we're talking about.
The Marvels, the Avengers, as they called
right.
it.
Okay. Right.
And this is the accumulation of 4.5 years of Marvel's cinematic universe.
Correct.
Yeah, you know, we're including the Hulk because Marvel is. Now,
right, they're building. They're building. It's a culmination of all these Marvel Studios
correct.
Movies.
Yes. And if you remember last week's when we talked about Captain America, they did kind of like a trailer to the Avengers
yes.
at the end of this.
Yes.
Now, this one opens a little bit differently than the other Marvel movies. It actually does the Avengers theme. The other ones
right.
didn't really have a theme. Like Iron Man always did Black Sabbath, and the other ones opened up with music or other sound
right.
effects.
Right, but this is like the Avengers theme, right? Right. So, and of course, they play it in all the other Avengers movies.
Yes,
right.
And this is directed by Josh Whedon, which is known from Firefly and
right.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Angel.
Right.
So he knows sci-fi fantasy. So
yeah.
I thought it was a good pick.
Well, one of the biggest movies, and so they put it on his shoulders.
Right.
That's
right.
scary alone as it is.
Well,
right.
and we got onto this a little bit at the tail end of last week, but just, you know, again, the whole idea of doing a film like this where you're bringing, you know, all these characters together, because not only is this the culmination of the first several films, it's bringing the titular characters from each of those films in there.
Right.
You've got Iron Man, you've got Hulk, you've got Thor, you've got Captain America. You also have had characters like Black Widow and
Hawkeye
right. and S.H.I.E.L.D. have all been introduced. And you're bringing all of that into
right.
one film.
Right.
Which at the time was viewed as a big risk.
Very risky.
You know, can
right.
they pull it off? Can Marvel pull off
well, they
having
every,
all these heroes in one film?
Because every year they said, oh, this they can't do this. This
right.
won't work.
Right.
And they
said
proved
it's
them wrong
right.
every
it would be
single
too
time.
Many, it would be right, too much, not enough screen time for each person. You know,
yeah, or
be,
the storyline's going to be too confusing,
be seven
too
hours
convoluted.
Long.
Right. And I just imagine we went from having 6 superheroes in this film. Look at Avengers 3. You've got, you know, there's like 60 some main characters
yeah,
in that film.
Right, right, right. Avengers Infinity War was insanity, right?
Right.
And they managed to pull
and
that
they still managed
off.
To pull that
pull
off,
off
so.
Too. Oh, yeah.
So, and just think, all of those are going to be back for Avengers 4 Endgame, and everybody that didn't appear in Avengers 3 or Infinity War will be in this one. So
like
it's,
Hawkeye was
like
not.
Hawkeye,
yes. Hawkeye was not
Ant-Man.
In Infinity
Ant-Man.
War.
Right,
right.
Ant-Man was not
right.
in Infinity
right.
War.
Right,
oh,
right,
then
exactly.
there's going to probably
and probably gonna, Captain Marvel too.
Captain Marvel, Wasp, the original Ant-Man,
right.
the original
Wasp.
Wasp.
Yeah.
So it's going to be close to 70 plus characters in Endgame,
right.
but. This is 2012, and the
right.
critics and the fans and everybody else said it can't
right.
be done.
So again, let's just
and then they did it.
Right, but they did it. There's no. I mean, I saw it opening weekend. It was crazy. I mean, the theater was packed.
Mm-hmm.
Now again, at least in the United States, I showed the release date was May 4th of 2012.
Mm-hmm.
It was either just called Marvel's The Avengers or simply The Avengers. But fun fact for overseas viewers, at least in the United Kingdom and Ireland, it was called Marvel Avengers
Assemble.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that was
and probably to distinguish itself from
the
1960s British TV series, The Avengers.
Right.
Which was
with,
awesome. I would like to do a podcast on it with them.
With was his Patrick McGee.
Yes.
And the most famous seasons were with him and Diana Rigg playing Emma Peel.
But, yeah. Yes.
Right. So again,
good stuff.
Marvel's Avengers Assemble. So for our British and Irish friends and overseas friends,
yes,
yeah, it kind of makes you wonder for the non-English speaking people out there, what was it called for them? That would be
We'd
very
have to look
interesting.
It up, but yeah, I mean, the Avengers is kind of the. I mean, some things don't translate. Or like in Spanish, not everything translates.
Oh, no.
I mean, they try to translate a lot of stuff.
Well, it's like Star Wars turned out to be Battle of the Planets, but there is an English speaking movie called Battle of the Planets.
Right, right, but right.
So what did they translate that to? Star Wars then?
Well, I mean, Star Wars would be like. I mean, the the exact translation is, you know, La Guerra de las Estrellas, you know, the Battle of the Stars. But it doesn't mean the same. Right. But I mean, when I've been in Latin America, you just say Star Wars in Latin America. I mean, they know exactly what you're talking about. I mean,
it's permeated everything.
If you say Avengers, they know what Avengers
and
is.
That, I that's almost
it's not Los Avengers. I mean, they know what you're talking about. You know, it's universal.
This opens very strangely off planet.
Right, exactly. Right. So,
well, I was going to say this really kind of introduces a more cosmic element.
Right. Kind of like Thor.
They take Thor's little thing and goes like, well, there's more to Thor. This is
right. So again, it's almost like we're going back and forth. Because, you know, Captain America, we go back to Earth, run, you know, United States, Germany. Mm-hmm. There's a little sci-fi mm-hmm. fantasy, but then this one goes back to the Thor concept. Okay, there's these otherworldly realms, mm-hmm. and here's the bad guys who are not human.
Yes. Well, and speaking of Thor, we see Loki at the very beginning.
Yes, mm-hmm. Loki. So. Right. So Loki's back, basically.
Yes. Right.
Okay.
Yes, right. Because
he died, but you know, he died a Hollywood death, which means he didn't
really
die.
Yes, basically, yes.
Or even better, a comic book death.
Comic book death.
Nobody dies in the stays dead in the comics.
Exactly.
No. So, sadly.
It's
yeah,
okay.
When we get to the Dark Phoenix saga, we're gonna have to bring up the comic book because Stan Lee did not know what was going on. It's because Jim Shooter at the time is editor chief of Marvel Comics made that decision for Dark Phoenix.
But
we wouldn't have the movie today.
But let me say this: when I saw Thor, and I think I said this in the previous Thor podcast, and I didn't mention it for Captain America, I love Thor. I thought Thor still is the mm-hmm. best origin story of all of them. And Loki, at first, I thought, oh, he's just the brother. You know, he's just the pesky guy. But again, as we know, Loki's really he's the linchpin mm-hmm. for a lot of this. I mean, you know, he's mm-hmm. the god of mischief, which he truly lives up to his name.
Now,
in Avengers, especially
in the first issue of the Avengers in the comic book, Loki is responsible for
the Avengers,
for the team.
Avengers coming together, yes.
Yes.
Well,
slightly different lineup, though.
But. Yes. Okay, but you could say he really is here too. I mean, it's because
difference.
Of Loki's. Mm-hmm. Aspirations or revenge factor in Avengers.
So in the original Avengers, the original lineup was Iron Man, Hulk, Thor. So we have those same characters.
Yeah.
And then Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Okay. All right. So
but no Captain America. He came in shortly thereafter.
Oh, yes. Okay, so that's a little bit different here. But yeah, I mean, remember, you know, Nick Fury's meeting with like the council, right? They're skeptical in this movie. They're skeptical in Avengers to assemble the Avengers. I'm jumping ahead, but I'm just saying.
It's kind of funny because in the comic books they have something very similar, especially in this miniseries, which was a 6-issue miniseries called Nick Fury versus S.H.I.E.L.D. And they bring in a council and they call them the gods because you'd never see their faces. They're the one pulling the strings and everything. And they kind of hint at this in the TV series, The S.H.I.E.L.D., but they also in next Captain America film called
Winter Soldier.
They mm-hmm. bring they hint about the people that are pulling the strings behind the scenes, but you see these faces and you're not really know what's going on. But they're the ones that are kind of being the puppet of for Nick Fury.
Right. I mean, I view them in Avengers almost like the UN Security Council. Like mm-hmm. like you know they're the heavies. You know these are the ones. Truly, you know,
mm-hmm. doing all this
right. You better listen to them, or else,
yeah,
or they'll override you, basically. You know, right?
Yes.
I mean, right? You're just a caretaker. They're very skeptical of the Avengers, skeptical of
yeah.
S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, you know, Nick Fury can do whatever he wants as long as it's what we want him to do.
Exactly. Right. I mean, he's on a short leash, basically.
And
for now, right? But that's kind of an important plot line in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're not shown a lot, but it's pretty important, I think.
Now they bring in Dr. Selznick.
Selznick
from the Thor film.
Right.
This ties back to that after credit scene because they show him working with the Tesseract.
Right. He's in the secret facility.
And that's
testing.
A real NASA a facility. Did you know that? That's
no,
the,
I didn't know
that.
That
is actually the largest vacuum chamber on the planet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's where that scene took place, is that they're able to take, like, spacecraft and probes and stuff and put in the thing.
To simulate space, that makes sense.
Yeah, make it a real true vacuum and see how the craft actually works under those conditions. And that
makes sense.
That size, it's really there. They just added all the props and
stuff.
Right,
and the special effects.
But that's a real... Yeah, that's when they showed the NASA sign when...
Yeah, I did see the NASA sign.
When Hawkeye slides down next to it. That is the real sign that's
there. Very cool. Very cool.
And so the Tesseract goes off, brings Loki into this world
from outer space into Earth.
Right. And that, because the Tesseract,
a la Stargate. No, I'm kidding.
Basically, yes.
Right, really. I mean, it's the Tesseract is like acting up, like it's causing earthquakes almost.
It's a power surge.
They cut to the scene and they're evacuating. The troops are evacuating
because they don't know what the Tesseract can and cannot do.
Exactly.
But then we also find out that Selvig and Hawkeye are, well, Selvig is under control of Loki.
Well, not yet. I mean, he is before
Loki appears.
Oh, really? He is?
Because if you think back to that end credit scene at the end of Thor,
they show a reflection
of Loki. And he says something, and then Selvig says what Loki says.
But Hawkeye gets zapped by him once Loki appears.
And I love that scene with Iron Man. He says, "Well, there's performance anxiety," but that's jumping ahead.
Yes.
So Loki punches through because the Bifrost is destroyed. So he needs something else to get to Earth. And then he's like, "Well." He can't do all this by himself, so he takes over a whole bunch of agents, Hawkeye, and he uses that to escape the facility.
Right.
But the energy used to punch through to this dimension from where he was causes a whole bunch of energy buildup, which kind of pulls up to the top and makes everything really unstable because the machine that was being used to build for the Tesseract wasn't completed, so when he punched through...
It stabilizes, and the
facility starts to collapse.
And we see
Fury escaping from there as the building's kind of collapsing around him.
And we're introduced to Agent Hill. Agent Hill never appeared in the comic books until this movie.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, okay. And this
same thing with Coulson. Coulson was never in the comics until his character appeared in the films.
And now Agent Hill and Agent Coulson are prominently in the comic books. She was a model. And this was, and she's done other minor roles. This is her first major role, and everybody just, she made a great agent.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And so Loki escapes with a Tesseract with a whole bunch of people because he needs it to open up a stable wormhole to bring in
the Jatari.
They used the Jatari because they wanted to use the Skrulls, but... It's being owned by Fox, so they had to create the Chitauri. Didn't exist until this movie,
right?
Okay.
So imagine the Skrulls instead of the Chitauri, and it's like
But we'll see the Skrulls make their MCU appearance
in
Captain Marvel coming up.
Yes.
Coming soon.
Yes, in less than 10 weeks.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh my God! Is it coming up?
I was at the movies. Recently, and I saw the standalone Captain Marvel with her in the outfit, like the 7 foot, 8 foot tall thing.
Jude Law's character has finally been released.
Jude Law.
And it is Captain Marvel.
He's Marvel?
Yes.
Okay.
Which was the first Captain Marvel.
Right.
Oh, okay, so she's like the successor.
Yes.
Some years in the comics, she was Ms. Marvel.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That was the very 1970s.
Ms.
Wasn't she also not Nova, but Binary? Mm-hmm. She was a character called Binary at one point.
Okay, let's get back to the Avengers.
Avengers.
Okay. We've got a lot to cover
on this movie.
Yes. So he escapes, and then Nick Fury is like, we need to...
Activate the Avengers.
The Avengers initiative is what it's called.
Remember, that's what he says at the end of Iron Man. He says, have you heard of the Avengers? I'm here to talk to you about the Avengers initiative.
Right.
Yeah, he calls it...
makes sense. That sounds like a government program.
When they evacuate the facility, they said they needed all Phase 2 prototype tech removed.
Right,
and they take that to the helicopter.
Right, and he's saying, I don't care if it's not ready. I want it. Pack it up. Yeah. Get it out of here. Right.
And so when Loki first appears, he uses his catchphrase, "I'm burdened with." Glorious purpose, and then Nick Fury uses. He says, "We're at level 7." He says, "We're at war."
Right. What else could it be? If that happened to me, I would think we're at the maximum level.
Well, isn't what do they call that?
DEFCON. DEFCON is the opposite. DEFCON 1 is your nuclear war.
Is the highest.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It's DEFCON 1 through DEFCON 5. Again, for anybody that remembers War Games, that was primarily featured in there.
I love War Games.
Love it. Mm-hmm. I have it on DVD.
Okay, love it. Let's get back to the Avengers.
Avengers, we have a lot.
Okay, so now with War Games.
I mean, there's like at least three major acts in this movie. There, I mean, there's
the introduction of Loki,
right,
the
Loki.
Formation of the team,
right.
The fall of the team,
right. Well, the formation
then the
of the team,
rescue of the team,
right. The formation
and then
of
the
team,
final battle,
the final battle.
Right. The formation of the team. I mean, they're not always getting along. I mean, there's major characters fighting,
which is just like the comics.
Okay. I'm just saying. So right, so then right, Fury has to regroup, right?
Yeah. But he activates the Avengers Initiative,
right?
So then he contacts Natasha,
right? Natasha, Natasha.
I love that scene with
right,
Natasha.
Natasha's in.
I'm working here.
She's busy like
she
beating up these
right, these Russian
Eastern
guys,
Russian thugs.
Right, yeah, right. I love it because
and again, I just saw the movie recently. Trust me. Maybe they weren't Russian actors, but they were speaking proper Russian. Because, I mean, Russian is very close to Polish, and I can speak Polish.
So, comrade, why do you know Russia?
I'm not a comrade, no. No, it's very similar to Polish. I mean, there's similar mm-hmm. words. And that maybe could have been Ukraine, but it sounded like Russian to me when they were speaking. So it was very good. I mean, the accents were excellent. So it was very accurate,
well,
that scene.
And I actually think she does speak several languages. I don't know what she speaks,
right.
But it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, no, I mean, she was excellent, so were the actors. And, of course, then
and
he tells her, like, you know, we're at war or something. He's like, let me put you on hold. And then she goes crazy, basically.
I love that. He says, right. The other guy.
Yeah, because Coulson calls her. It's not
yes.
Nick Fury, right?
Oh,
yes.
Coulson
calls her.
Yeah, because I love it because the thug's phone rings and he goes,
right.
And he goes, this is for her.
It's for her, right.
And she listens and he says, we need you to come in. And he says, and she goes, I'm busy right now. This idiot's giving away all his secrets. And he goes, I'm not giving away anything.
And then he says, no. And then he tells her, no, we need you. And it's, you know, it's important. And then she let me put you on hold.
And then she beats the crap out of everybody and leaves. And she goes, so he says, so you want me to go after the, you know, he says, we need you to go after the big guy. She goes, well, he says, Tony Stark hates me. So
right,
he doesn't trust me as far as he can throw it. He goes, no, we want you to go after the big guy. And she goes, oh, boy. You know, just, you know, and so that's.
And then eventually they go, they cut to her. You know,
and
she's in
Calcutta.
And
Calcutta.
I love that scene. If you ever get a chance to listen to the movie with Josh Wheaton's commentary over
mm-hmm.
it, the scene when she's talking to Banner in his little hut
right.
out in the morning.
Right,
she goes, so he says, well, we need, you know, blah, 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 blah. We need to come in or anything. He says, so we don't always get what we want. And he goes, yes, we never, sometimes we just don't. And he's pushing this little hamper, this little baby.
Not baby carriage,
but
baby
a little bed that rocks.
Yeah, like a hammock or whatever.
Hammock thing. He goes,
right.
Yeah, we don't always get what we want. And he goes, that was improvised by him. And Josh Wheaton goes, I love it when he did that because, you know, just hinted that he and Betsy Ross can't get together and you know, he can't have a family.
I get it. I get it.
And so he just, you know, and Josh Wheaton's like, wait, watch this. He goes, I love it when he did that. And
I mean, Ruffalo as the Hulk, Ruffalo
as Banner.
It's, you know, I mean, there's nobody else.
We should say this is the first time that we see Mark Ruffalo playing.
Correct.
Banner,
because
it was Edward Norton.
And Norton wasn't bad, but he just, it's Ruffalo. It's Ruffalo. It's like if you put anybody else now besides Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark, people are like, what the hell are you doing? You're wrong. I mean, he was born to play Tony Stark at this point.
I know that Mark Ruffalo makes the perfect Hulk. Now, he erases everything that Ed Norton does because I don't think about him as
Norton's
he inhabited the character.
Right. Norton's
he did
a great
it the right
actor.
Way.
Norton's a great actor.
He's a fabulous
actor,
but I don't think this was the right role for him.
Because Ruffalo, he's playing, like, you know, when he first appears on the helicarrier, you know, he's in this, you know, you can tell he's kind of like this really smart scientist guy.
He's kind of aloof.
Right, he's aloof, but he's disheveled.
Right.
But he doesn't care that he's disheveled, which
is
very...
he's walking around the deck and he sees the security guards, he flinches and turns away from them because he's always on guard.
Right.
Right.
And Ruffalo plays it to the bone, just like Robert Downey Jr. plays Tony Stark to the bone.
And I like the scene where they kind of show the potential of the Hulk when Natasha is talking to Bruce Banner at the little desk there, and he slaps it, and he goes, "Tell me what you really want."
Right.
And she grabs the gun from her that was connected
right,
to Ethan and pointing at it, and she's like,
right, she's nervous.
On the tear,
right, because she knows,
that the Hulk,
if you unleash the power that he,
you unleash that beast, you got problems.
Yeah,
which we see later on.
And it just, it's that right there speaks more volumes than doing a CGI of the Hulk.
Oh yeah, right, yeah, because it's that. It's like the monster that you can't see, but you know you're gonna see.
Mm-hmm. Right? It's the monster under the bed.
It's almost like Jaws. You know it's coming. You know you're gonna see it. But you just don't know when and where.
Yeah,
and that's just scarier than anything else.
They keep hinting on that, and they don't need to show them. They just
They do, but you almost don't need to.
It's always off camera, and
it's always implied.
It's always implied, and that hurt. Almost breaking into tears, but not, because she's forcing herself not to, and then trying to keep her hand steady because of the gun.
But she does want to antagonize him, because that releases the beast, and then you tumble down the rabbit hole.
And she's like,
and that's also, it's also interesting when you think about how their relationship develops later in the later films.
Yes.
Did you know that the male cast got in trouble because all the male cast and her appeared on The Tonight Show when it was Jay Leno. No, who did it after Jay Leno?
It's Jimmy Fallon.
No,
Conan.
Oh, you mean Conan O'Brien?
I think this was Conan O'Brien briefly before Jay Leno kicked him off.
Right.
Which was a stupid thing. But anyway, all of them are there, and they all got in trouble because the relationship, I'm doing air quotes there, as they do on my favorite podcast, is developed between the Black Widow and
Bruce Banner,
they go like, "Oh, you know, the Black Widow's being such a slut, going from member to member, because you know she was involved with Hawkeye,
right.
She got involved with
Well, she talks about that in the movie. She says, you know, they say, "Oh, Ms. Loki, oh, that's your boyfriend." She goes, "No, I owe him a debt, right?" But she's being vague about it.
Because she has this necklace of an arrow around her neck.
Yes,
she wears it throughout all the movies.
But we find out later on that Hawkeye is
married,
got a wife and a family and all that too. So
yeah, well, if you notice in that, and we're jumping a little bit, but in Marvel Avengers Ultron, when they're introduced to the family, they all look at her and she kind of looks away and looks
around.
I don't remember
that scene. I have to watch that again.
When I first saw that, I went, "Ooh, they do acknowledge that."
Well,
but in this one,
again, so I think that's a good reason why people enjoy these movies is because they're superheroes. But they're slightly
humans.
Flawed.
They're
humans. That
ties back to what made Marvel Marvel.
Right.
Going all the way back to the 1960s, was Stan Lee's vision was to have
human heroes
that showed their humanity.
Their flaws, right?
Their flaws is what makes
Spider-Man worrying about paying his rent, you know, or when he was younger, worrying about passing his physics test
or getting grades and girlfriends. Yeah,
sure,
it's just more
relatable, right?
Extremely relatable.
Right. Exactly. I mean, not that we're not condoning cheating on husbands or wives. We're not condoning.
Only if he has superpowers.
No. Anyway, the point is right. Black Widow talks about, and she doesn't say it, but you can tell that there was something between her and Hawkeye, because obviously.
Well, it's like friends in bunkers.
Right.
Oh, it's just like if you're in the medical field, it's just the more you deal with people in like ER, the compadre type of thing we get with working with these people in an intense situation.
You're just more simpatico with these people. Right, I get it.
So the same thing with, she's an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., so is Hawkeye, so there's something developing,
Where Banner is not. Banner really is not an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. I mean, he's not really part of Avengers. He's not really part of the Avengers. I mean, they want him involved.
Yeah,
but he's more like, he's almost like a toy to them.
Well, he's a weapon.
He's a weapon, right. We're jumping, but I just love it how Tony Stark, when they're on the helicopter, it's like, he's just like, "This is getting you angry, isn't it, Bruce? It's getting you hot." And I remember seeing that thing, I'm like, "Don't do that to him." You're like 30,000 feet in the air. Don't do that to him.
I love that scene when Tony keeps poking him with an electric prod, trying to set him off.
Right.
And Steve Rogers goes in there and goes, "No!"
Right.
We're jumping ahead a little bit.
We're jumping ahead.
So we had Natasha goes to Calcutta
to gather a banner.
Right.
And then
she convinces him.
We have the scene, the repeat of the scene from the end of Cap, yep, where Fury talks to Steve.
And yes, the interesting part is that he shows everybody else like iPads and stuff, and they're reading the information off of.
Yes.
And all this high tech. He hands him a vanilla folder.
Right.
Because that's more relatable.
That's
to him.
Right. That's more old. Right. He right. A little old school. A
vanilla
right.
folder.
Yeah. Right. I saw that. I went, oh, that's clever.
There's nothing wrong with that.
And then,
right.
And then Coulson goes to Stark Tower to get Tony.
Right.
Tony
right. Right before he goes there, Tony lights up with Pepper Potts. It's the only like eco-sustainable
they
energy
use an arc
source.
Reactor to right. run Stark right. Tower. And so it's self-contained. It's right. off the grid, right. and it's the most green building at that time in
right.
New York.
Right, and so they're toasting to their success, him and Pepper Potts. And of course, she's getting this phone call. It's Jarvis.
And this one scene which they can't get away from that was in there because Coulson keeps calling and Jarvis says that he's my protocols are being overridden.
Yes.
And he breaks into Tony's phone and he goes, "Hi, this is not Tony Stark. This is a life model decoy."
Right.
Okay. The problem with that is, yes, Tony Stark did build life model decoys, which are androids that replicate a person, so you can send them in places where they might get assassinated.
Sure, of course, right. Like on a suicide mission or a one-way mission, right?
Yeah. Nick Fury uses them a lot
of course.
The comic book. So he goes there, he gets killed, and everyone's like, oh my God, he's dead. Oh, no, wait. That's
an element.
Right.
Yeah, the problem is that him saying, hi, this is a life model decoy, this is jumping ahead about 3 years then, because in Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s TV series, a different scientist creates the LMDs, the life model decoys, and he calls them life model decoys. So were they both working on it separately? So this has been a thorn in Marvel's side. This is the start of the continuity breakdown because after all the movies and all the TV series and everything, right, there's going to be something that falls apart eventually because right. you can't
when
keep all the continuity
dozens
together.
Dozens of writers and producers right. all working on
the same
projects.
Projects. Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
hundreds of actors.
Yeah,
right,
yeah. So, yeah, something is going to slip through the cracks. This was the first one.
Okay.
And then one of my favorite lines in there is that when – Pepper is asking Coulson about his girlfriend, and does she call him Phil?
Phil.
His first name's Agent.
Yeah, yeah.
His name is Agent.
Right. There's a little jealousy there. There's a little jealousy.
They also mention, he says, when they get on the elevator, she goes, I need to be taken to the airport. He says, I can give you a ride.
Right,
because she's going to fly to New York to get the permit so they can do other arc reactor buildings.
Fly to Washington.
Washington.
They're in New York. Right. I can get you to LaGuardia. Yeah. She was, before Coulson shows up, she's talking to Tony.
To do that the next day.
Hey, I'm going to D.C. to get the permits. Mm-hmm. They're talking business, but you can see that they're romantically involved.
Yeah. Because they're building, their relationship is building because it's been a few years since Iron Man 2.
Right, right.
And then he goes, I'll take you there. He says, whatever happened to your girlfriend? He says, oh, the cellist? Oh, she moved to Oregon. She goes, oh. And then the elevator doors closes, which is brought up in the TV series.
Mm-hmm.
And they resolve that storyline.
Right. And the reason.
The TV series.
Yes.
Right. So Coulson comes mainly to get Tony involved, mm-hmm. To get Tony Stark involved, and he basically hands him like an iPad, right? A computer file,
a tablet,
and so he spreads it out. But he says, and she goes, "Well, I better leave you.
You have homework."
Right, and so he's literally looking at all the Captain America. You see the hall. You see all the stuff going on.
Yeah, so he looks at a three-dimensional duplication of the notes of the Tesseract that they still have left from Dr. Selvig's. All this
work,
stuff. So
he's
reading all this information.
Well, and also, you may not remember this, but in Iron Man 2, when Tony's looking at his father's notebooks, there's a page where he has a diagram of the Tesseract.
I did not see that. On the one line that he makes a joke of, I was reading my notes here, is that when he goes he says, this is entirely the credit of Stark Towers is you. She goes, really? This is all me? He goes, well, maybe
12%.
Yeah.
And then later on when she says, maybe it's 15%.
Yeah.
Right.
And he goes, I'm going to pay for that later. And he goes, yes, you will.
Right.
And So yes, I did not know that. So now you have to, I have to go back and watch Iron Man 2.
Yeah, all these little pieces of continuity. Pieces.
They're just all these little things they keep dropping, the seeds that they plant to
right,
see what
grows.
Right,
and that's what they are, seeds to plant for the MCU.
And then when Thor appears, with Loki appears and they take him out in Germany because what they needed to do is with lithium, which is a part of a meteorite element. And so Loki does that as a distraction so Hawkeye, who is under control of Loki, can get the lithium back so they could make a stable portal for the Tesseract. Right. And Loki gets taken down by Iron Man and Captain America.
Correct.
And right. They're transporting him back via a Quinjet. And Thor shows up. And Loki goes like, how much matter had to be used?
Right, they're on the jet. And like, oh, there's like a lightning storm. He's like, what is what I said? I don't like what comes after that.
He says, aren't you afraid of lightning? And he says, no, I'm afraid of what comes after that.
Right, exactly. And then Thor's there. And
Thor's there, and they beat each other senseless, just like in the comic books.
Right.
And I love it when Thor hits Iron Man with a huge
bolt of
energy.
Right, this time, Thor is not a friendly to Iron Man Captain America. In essence, they're rivals, really. I mean, they're because they've captured Loki, mm-hmm. and Thor wants to take Loki and the Tesseract back to Asgard to pay for his crime, so to speak.
Yeah, so it's interesting that that Thor and Odin found out that the Tesseract's on Earth and why Loki's on there. So they go there and they duke it out. They finally
in the forest,
issues.
Right? Exactly. Right.
I love it. The scene where he goes like, you know, when Captain America goes, you better put the hammer down, and Iron Man goes, no, that's a bad idea.
Right.
Thor hits Captain America on the shield with
and
as much power
as
he can.
And there's an energy
reverberation. It levels the forest,
forest right there. Now, if you really think about it, what that really means is that Thor meant to kill Captain America.
Oh no! I mean, again, Thor's mission. Thor was hell bent on. I don't care who's in my way. I'm taking
Loki and the
Tesseract
back.
Right. Whoever I have to go through, I'm going through because I'm Thor, the God of Thunder.
What happens if Captain America didn't raise his shield in time? So that would have been squish.
Absolutely. But again, the reason why he survived, right? Because
the
Thor's
vibranium
is the shield, right? Exactly. Right. Otherwise, he would have been squished anyway.
Teasing about Wakanda.
Yes. Which I did not know, because I'm thinking, I'm watching this movie in 2012, I'm like, how can Captain America's shield stop Thor's hammer?
It absorbs all vibration. But then it brings up an interesting point, which nobody's ever explained to me. When he throws it, it means that it's bouncing and it's taking the energy that it when it hits something and redirects it so it's able to bounce off an object. If it's absorbing all energy, then it can't bounce.
It's called Hollywood. That's all.
Yeah.
That's called Hollywood.
It's called suspend your disbelief.
Right. That's okay. It's a fantasy sci-fi, Patrick.
Wait, this isn't real?
No, Patrick, I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Of course, one little trivia. I guess we should have said this in the Captain America podcast, but in the comics, Captain America's shield is a combination of vibranium
and
adamantium. But they don't use adamantium in this
because
that's with
the
X-Men.
X-Men, right. They can't mention it.
Right. Yeah. Well, they don't even mention in Avengers what the shield's made of. I mean,
they did in Captain America.
Captain America, but not Avengers. But not Avengers. Yes. Right. You just assume that, right?
So it's the same shield.
Right, of course. But they're in the forest, so they slams it down, boom, they level
the
forest. And they're like,
okay,
let's stop fighting. Because literally they leave Loki in like this mountain.
And
remember?
He's watching it.
Right.
He could have escaped at any time. He's doing exactly what they want him to do, is basically beat each other senseless.
Right, mm-hmm. Well, he figures, eliminate Thor for me.
Because his scepter controls minds, and just by being near it when it's releasing energy,
because it has the Mind Stone in it.
Mind Stone in it. So therefore, you know, from them fighting, he's like, oh, yeah, go ahead.
Well, yeah, because there's a scene later on when they're all talking. They're in they're in banners.
And my favorite scene, he goes, why are you without the armor? And he goes, genius, billionaire,
playboy, philanthropist.
But they're all in arguing, and then they cut. They cut to show the scepter.
Yes, and it's glowing. It's,
right, like, I'm like, see? It's like, I flash back to Ghostbusters 2.
Really?
Don't you remember Ghostbusters 2 with the slime that made everybody angry? Oh, yeah. Anyway, it's like antagonizing everybody.
So they bring him out to the
helicarrier.
The helicarrier.
Right.
Although we don't know it's the helicarrier first.
No, we don't.
We skipped that part.
Right.
When they first arrive there, it just looks like it's just a...
That was before they got Loki on it. It was flying at that, but before then...
No, I thought it was after they got Loki on it.
No. Captain America and... Bruce Banner arrive there,
and Black Widow,
and it's an aircraft carrier. It's floating on the ocean. Well, at least we assume it's an aircraft because they land at like an aircraft carrier, and it looks like an aircraft carrier.
And then Bruce Banner goes like, you know, he says this must look weird to you. He goes, no, this looks very familiar because soldiers are marching and there's planes and all this stuff. Black Widow comes up there and goes, hey, you better. You know, get inside because it's going to get really hard to breathe in a minute. And Bruce Banner goes, what is this, a submarine? He says, that's a really bad idea, putting me in a can.
Right.
And then all of a sudden the thing starts shifting and stuff.
Then the raises out of the water.
And he goes, oh, this is a really bad idea. Right. And then they go inside and then the scene when he gets when Nick Fury goes to him and says, I have a mission for you, and he says things are going to get a lot weirder, and he goes, I bet you $10 it won't. And then they bring him inside, he walks around the bridge and everything, he digs in his pocket
and hands Fury $10. Now I can tell you, when the first time I saw this at the theater, there were a number of moments when I was just in my seat, like, oh, this is so cool. And when the helicarrier raised out of the water, that was one of those moments I was just sitting there saying, this is so cool. I was just like, as the comic geek in me was just like, oh my God, I can't believe they're actually doing this.
I had chills. And then when he says, activate stealth mode, and the whole thing disappeared.
Like the mirrors.
And I got more chills. Like, I just got chills again. It just, because that is from the comic books. The helicopter is
the helicarrier.
The helicarrier is the most iconic thing from S.H.I.E.L.D. in the comic books.
Fury and S.H.I.E.L.D. are always
there,
navigating in a helicarrier. Where they are.
One way or the other. I couldn't believe that they actually did this. Now, this is like 30, 40 minutes into the film. We're not even into the action.
And they introduced
the helicopter, S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Hill, Agent Coulson.
It is a very busy movie, let's be honest. I mean, first of all, we have this battle between Iron Man, Captain America, and Thor, which you think... Well, that's the climax of the movie, right?
They introduced the dynamics between the characters and how it's not gelling immediately one scene.
Their introduction is nothing happy. It's a fight, basically. It's a fight almost to the death, basically.
Yeah, and they do so much with it. And then Hawkeye is brought in there, and he tries to take out the helicarrier.
Well, I remember before we talk about Hawkeye, I remember they put Loki in this impenetrable prison, basically. Right.
Which was designed for the Hulk.
Right. They hint at that. Exactly. It's not really for Loki, right? No. And then exactly. It's meant for somebody else, which is, again, it's not a good foreshadowing, you know, but it is foreshadowing because, you know, they're expecting him to show up, and of course, just in case,
well, in case wrong, something happens.
Right. But the question is, once he's Hulk, how do you get him in the chamber? you'd have to get Bruce Banner in the chamber.
Correct.
Anyway.
Before he hulks out.
So that Banner's on there. So, of course, Stark's on there. Mm-hmm. So, of course, and again, I kind of...
And then we start to see the dynamic of Stark and Banner being the scientists together.
Because, I mean, they're like, is anybody listening? Like Stark's like, is anybody paying attention? Because, like, nobody's really, like, getting what I'm talking about. And then Banner's saying, like, you know, get all the gamma radiation, you know, the arrays. And so they get a very geeky moment.
Right.
I go, okay, so these two look like they could be easy friends, because they're kind of both the brainiacs of the team. Not that the other people are stupid, of course.
Right.
But they have the scientific knowledge background.
Because, let's see here.
And I love that scene.
Oh, yeah, when they were talking about what it needs to be to make the Tesseract stable.
Right.
It's 120 million Kelvin. It needs to be done to break through the barrier of it. And and Tony goes, finally, somebody that speaks English.
Right,
somebody
says, right.
And Captain America goes, so that's what that was.
Right.
You know, just, and then they make the joke, he says, what is this, like flying monkeys? And he goes, I understood that reference.
Right.
He's well, like, course, I cling to something.
Right.
Well, of course, he would have, you know, Wizard of Oz would have been, was 1930s, so right, you might have seen
39,
that.
Right. So,
yeah, oh, and another thing, that scene when Tony Stark and Bruce Banner is walking around the lab with Captain America there, and Tony Stark pulls out a bag of blueberries and starts eating them then?
Yes.
He intentionally went around to the sets and hid food.
Yeah, Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, really?
Yes. That was not scripted. He hid food around the set. And then when he was hungry, he would just grab food and start eating it.
Interesting. Yes.
So when you see him eating, that's not scripted. That's just Downey Jr.
It's more a Robert Downey Jr. scene than a Tony Stark scene. But again, it's kind of one of the same at this point.
Yes. Oh, and it's okay, and blah, blah, blah. Oh, and then this kind of starts building to Civil War because Tony Stark and Captain America start arguing. He says, "What are you?" And, you know, he says, "Get the suit. We'll have a fight." And he goes, "So what are you without the suit?" And he goes, "Well," he says, "That's when my favorite line." He says, "What are you?" And he says, "Genius billionaire,
philanthropist,
right?
Yeah, playboy."
And then Black Widow goes,
"Huh." Right, but again, the only person that could really I know it's hard because you think of you think of iconic characters now like Gandalf.
And the funny thing is that he wasn't the first choice.
No, I understand that. I understand.
And neither Scarlett Johansson wasn't the first choice for Black Widow.
Who was the first choice for Black Widow?
What was that movie? The Quiet Ones or.
No, I don't know. But that's okay.
I don't know.
But see, now you can't see anybody else.
No,
I mean,
they inhabited the character so much. You're comfortable with it,
right? It's not just the comfort. I mean, everybody gets comfortable, but
how you'd have to bring somebody in that brings something to the character so more powerful it stands alone.
Well, see, I think that's the genius. And again, I didn't talk about Thor, even though I love Thor as the origin story, but. And I'm not saying Chris Evans doesn't play it well. He plays his character well. But he's a soldier. He's supposed to take orders. He's a little more, not behind the scenes, but he's a little more, he's taking orders. He gives orders, too, as captain, but he's a soldier. Mm-hmm. Where, again, Bruce Banner, he's the, aloof scientist that feels out of sorts everywhere. Plays it to the bone.
Tony and Bruce question everything.
Exactly. Well, because they're scientists. That's what a good scientist, a good inventor, which Tony Stark definitely is, will do that because that's how you invent things. You keep questioning things.
And that's that scene where they're questioning. It's like, why weren't they brought in on all these things? Why are they in the energy business with the Tesseract? Because it's unlimited energy.
Right.
Why weren't they brought in earlier for this?
Right.
Why this? Why that?
Well, they're hinting at what S.H.I.E.L.D. is really doing.
Yeah,
they're
trying to find out.
They want to make weapons.
They want to use the Tesseract to make weapons.
That's when Captain America goes down into the hold, breaks in, and finds weapons that are very similar to what were in Captain America, but they're being powered by the Tesseract. At the same time, Tony's Jarvis breaks into the main computer, and they see all this, and they confront him.
But again, going back to your theme, is that you're kind of hinting at the disconnect between Tony and Stark Industries and Captain America. Captain America dislikes Tony because, he's a war profiteer. You could argue that.
He sees him as more of an opportunist.
He
says that he's...
He is.
Even when they have the confrontation earlier when he talked about the suit, he says that you just fight for yourself.
He's throwing out these accusations, which isn't necessarily wrong.
That Captain America uses, and he says, I would throw myself on the wire, and Tony goes, why don't you just cut the wire?
Right, right.
You throw yourself down on the barbed wire so the soldiers could, compatriots could climb over it,
right.
And you take the brunt of the barbed wire.
Tony's
like, why don't you just cut
the wire?
Right. And so, again, both aren't wrong.
It's just different, just a different philosophy.
It's a different philosophy, a different viewpoint.
And this friction is, I think, the start of what is brought up in Civil War.
Right, they're building it, which is fine. But again, in this movie, they have to work together, which they do work together.
And then Hawkeye shows up and disrupts this entire.
Right, they have this meeting. They have this meeting, right, to talk about Avengers and and he's on the thing, and boom, he shoots the arrow and he blows up the turbine. Exactly,
and takes out a good chunk of the telecarrier in one arrow shot because the arrow blows up, which causes a chain reaction explosion, which takes out the turbine.
So all of a sudden, the arguing stops. They go, okay, now we have something to do.
And then they start working together to fix the helicarrier and get everything back on track.
Absolutely.
Yes, and then that's when Black Widow and
The Hulk. They fall down into this middle chamber, and he's getting angry.
He's getting upset,
right?
And she keeps going like,
"You're okay, right?" Remember, like some soldiers show up. She's like, "This is just." Shoos them away. Get out, right? She like shoos them away. Thinking that'll be okay. She can talk him down. And it didn't work.
No, he changes, and then he's just
ripping
out.
Shit to shreds, basically. Right. Yeah. And then he's chasing her.
Yeah,
I mean, he wants to kill her.
Yeah, and that her fear from the beginning of the movie is
well founded.
Thor interrupts because right at the point when he's she's cornered.
Yeah.
And he's lifting up his fist.
He brings it down, even mildly. She would have been a grease on the wall.
Right.
And right at the point,
only Thor
takes him out.
Right,
because Thor is the only one strong enough to do that.
Right.
Yes, maybe that's why Nick Fury had him, because he needed a counter agent to the Hulk, because he wanted Hulk because mass destruction, and then something to control the Hulk.
Yeah, you're right, Fury. But let's be honest, it's not really Fury. I mean, the only reason why Thor is here is he's on a recon mission to bring his brother the Tesseract back. Now, yes, he wants Thor. He wants Thor as part of the Avengers. But Thor is really here
at the beginning when he's talking to the Shadow group. He's saying, "He goes, well, where's that brother?" And he goes, "Thor is off world. I don't know where he is. He can't help us at this point." So he probably I'll keep him in my back pocket, but I have no way of contacting him.
Right. But Thor is the counterweight to the Hulk. There's a counterweight,
if something happens to it.
Right.
So Thor and the Hulk punch through several different floors, because if you
listen to a lot of stuff,
listens to this, the you know, they're like, you know, Hulk's on, you know, Hulk and Thor are on four. No, they're on two, three, because they just punching through the
right.
And so
they damage a few like fighter jets and stuff.
They did almost as much damage as Hawkeye's one arrow did.
Pretty much,
And of course, at the end of all that is the one shot that has become a famous GIF online of when he punches Thor.
They're done with the fight and stuff. And
that's way later, though.
Yeah.
Because that's on. That's on Tony's
New York.
Building.
On Tony's right building, right. Yeah. But that's the result of their fight from here. Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
And so Thor is knocked off. Thor gets trapped in the Hulk Buster jail.
Gets
thrown off the helicopter.
Because he's trying to grab Loki. Loki uses his little image, his little double image thing, and tricks him.
And he throws him off there. Hulk gets knocked off because the Hulk gets pissed off from a Quinjet pilot. Destroys the Quinjet and falls off the Quinjet. So he's falling.
Not a Quinjet, actually. It's an F-35.
F-35.
It's an F-35 fighter. But I think the key thing, and we jumped over this, and I wanted to say this, is that I forget. Tony Stark says when they have the little argument before Hawkeye shoots the arrow, saying, "Does everybody get the sense that the only person that really wants to be here is Loki?"
Yes.
And he's like, everybody's arguing, and the only person
they're up on the bridge.
Right,
yes.
The only person that seems at peace with being on this helicarrier is like happy to be there is Loki. You'd think he wouldn't be. He's the prisoner, right?
Because he's pulling all the triggers and stuff. And
he's trying to antagonize everybody. He's trying to pull them apart.
Yes. And so therefore, now the team is broken up. Thor breaks through the carrier.
Right.
He lands on an island.
Right.
Hulk lands in the middle of
God knows somewhere,
New York.
Somewhere suburban New York or upstate New York, somewhere.
And the guard of that facility makes a strange comment. He goes like, you couldn't, because, you know, he obviously tears out of his clothes, and when he hits the ground, he breaks through the factory ceiling and stuff, so the rest of his clothes are going.
Right.
And he goes, Wait, hold on, time out. I'm looking for my notes. And
well,
so,
well, the guard, I'll tell you what the guard, I don't remember the exact lines, but the guard.
Oh, right here, the guard gives him clothes, and he says, I know that you wouldn't fit into these until you shrunk. Right. How did he know that he was going to shrink?
I don't know that. That's a very good question, right? I didn't catch that. But I mean, but what I caught from that is, okay, so that means the guard saw him as the Hulk.
Well, yeah,
obviously.
He did. He right, he didn't see him green.
Right, he didn't see him as a human form. He saw him as the Hulk.
Yeah, but
and
how
then
would he
need... that I don't know. That's a very good question.
Well, I did see a couple of forums and stuff that said that maybe he was a Skrull in disguise, or he was an alien, and he knew that he was going to change.
Or maybe that was some sort of shield warehouse or something, because he says it's a big warehouse that's
right,
empty.
It's an abandoned warehouse.
It's an abandoned
and
warehouse.
The only thing he scared or damaged was the doves.
Right, right. So there's nobody working there. So but anyway,
And another thing is that when somewhere right before that that battle starts, mm-hmm. Nick Fury says that he says, I lost my one good eye.
Yes, he did say that.
Yeah. Now the thing is, does that mean the eye that's left isn't good?
I think he was. I didn't take it that way. The way I took it was, he missed some things. I think he's being facetious. He's saying, mm-hmm. You know, I lost my one good eye. Mm-hmm. So with the eye that I have, how did I miss all this happening and right in front of me, so to speak? You know, I mean, I'm supposed to be the leader of S.H.I.E.L.D., this super spy guy, and mm-hmm. how did I miss it? I think he's kind of knocking himself. But throwing off a little...
Being sarcastic.
A little sarcastic as well. So, yeah, that's the way I took it.
Again, Hawkeye is going through... He shoots an arrow into the main computer frame on bridge, which
right.
shuts down the other engines.
Shuts down all... Basically, all power. And so they start floating. They start gliding down.
Right,
losing altitude.
The turbines are slowing down.
Right.
Just like any fan in a slight wind, they'll still go.
Well,
there's no power to it.
Which is like a helicopter. I mean, the helicopter has to have the blades constantly running or it will crash, basically. Right.
And then Iron Man and Captain America are trying to fix the one turbine that was caught in the explosion.
Right.
And in the meantime, Loki is trying to escape and he encounters Agent Coulson.
Yes. Right.
Now,
and Agent Coulson has that crazy new gun.
Yeah, he calls it a prototype, and he goes, I don't even know what it does.
Right.
And
so would that gun be that would that be a phase two gun?
Yes, it was a phase
two
gun.
Okay, it was. Okay. So I'm not okay, I wasn't sure.
Yeah, but he wasn't quite sure because it's a prototype. So
okay.
Now Loki does one of his little tricks things and stabs him with his scepter.
Right.
Effectively killing Olsen. I say effectively
right.
killing him.
Killing
Olsen.
Him like in a Hollywood death, kind of like, you know, how Loki died?
Yeah, well, pretty much so, because the whole entire basis of the TV show Marvel Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
is on Coulson,
and everybody's like, wait a minute, Coulson's dead. Well, they addressed that in the TV series in the first season. Actually,
good.
The first two seasons.
Okay,
because it's not a flashback. The season does... The whole entire Marvel Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show takes place after the Avengers. And, in fact, during the Avengers and stuff. So Olsen gets stabbed.
Fatally.
Fatally
stabbed. I mean, from the back, too.
Yeah, through the back.
Or so we believe.
So we believe,
right.
Yes. And how they address that in the first two seasons of Marvel Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. And then,
Mostly the first season.
And then... Loki gets blown through the wall, and Agent Coulson goes, oh, so that's what that does.
Right.
And
right.
then Loki escapes with Hawkeye aboard a Quinjet and takes off, and the helicopter is crashing. Tony Stark and Captain America get the turbines back up. They stabilize it, but the computers are still down, so they're
right.
having a hard time, you know, with everything. But... And then everybody's in doubt because, you know, Nick Fury goes like, well, Agent Coulson's dead. And I'm
right.
using air quotes.
Right.
And which
well,
brings
and he,
the
and he
together.
Throws the, because Coulson had earlier shown Captain America that he had, like, trading cards with Captain
yes,
America.
Yes,
to let him know that he was like, kind
well,
of his, he was.
He said he had trading cards. He wanted Captain America to sign
them.
But then Fury throws him, like, blood stains.
That's what I was getting at. He throws
yeah,
blood stains.
Yeah, he says that these were on him.
And he throws them on the table.
But
they're all covered in blood.
But in reality, they weren't.
They were not.
No,
so they were planted.
So it was some theatrics on Fury's part, because he's using that.
To get them all
unify them and
right.
get them working together.
And it's just because the like Coulson said.
But let me stop you, Patrick. You said that Hawkeye doesn't leave. Hawkeye starts fighting Black Widow.
Black Widow, and she knocks him out.
Right, right. This is on the helicarrier. This is on the helicarrier. Right, right, right.
And then he comes out of it. Right. Because how did you bring me out of this? Because he's tied down. And
right, right. He wakes up.
And she goes, well, I used cognitive recalibration to bring you back. Right, and he goes, what do you do? I hit you in the head.
Right, right. She like kicked him really bad in the head. And he banged it like the side.
The one thing on the helicarrier we forgot to mention was the one line that Robert Downey Jr. ad-libbed.
He ad-libbed on the bridge, and he goes up on the bridge, and he says, that guy's playing Galaga.
Right.
And so that was ad-libbed.
Right. And then they added the actor in with the Galaga on it. I loved it.
And then they walk away, and he, like, pops it back up and starts playing it.
I loved it.
Just like the shawarma. Oh.
You're getting ahead of that. We can get back to that.
Okay, okay. All right,
but that's one of the things that works well, I think, in this film is the little tidbits of dialogue and little bits of humor and comedy. To me, that was part of Whedon's influence.
And I like that.
I think that's what makes it work is that, definitely. The seriousness with the overlay of the comedy, because it just,
yes.
I think...
You can't
and
take
it... And again, that's very Marvel. That's very much the distinction between Marvel versus DC. DC is more serious, and I'm Superman, and I'm
right,
going
true.
To defeat the enemies.
And everything's dark, and there's dark shadows.
True, right. Marvel,
I have to be serious at all times.
Right.
Marvel is bright and funny.
Right, but at the same
and
time,
fun.
Right, as you said earlier, is you know most of these, not all, I mean, not Thor, mm-hmm. but you know, Captain America's a human, you know, but mm-hmm. with Super Serum, you know, Tony Stark's a human with all this money, the philanthropist.
With the suit.
Right. Black Widow, I mean, she's a human, she's a Russian, right? I mean, mm-hmm. she's not an alien, right? So these are all humans.
But she is extremely old. Because she takes a anti-aging formula.
Okay, okay. Yeah. But what I'm saying, these are all humans, and that most of these characters are humans.
Yes.
So of course, most humans have senses of humor, and they'll occasionally display that.
One funny scene I think that you could thank Joss Whedon for. It's just when they're on the bridge and they're debriefing everybody, and Bruce Banner goes like, Loki is like a sack of cats. He's completely crazy. And he goes, you're talking about my brother. And Black Widow goes, he's killed 80 people in 2 days. And he goes, well, he's adopted.
He's adopted.
Right. But again, very serious. But then, okay, we throw in the joke, right? Yeah, which is what people would say. Right. A lot of them. I mean, Thor's not human, but he's a human-like, a human-like god from Asgard.
And so the team is completely disrupted. Thor's off.
Right, people are off. Right.
Thor's off on an island.
Thor lands on an island.
Hulk's in New York already.
Right. And everybody's it's splintered.
The Iron Man's suit is damaged, and he's got to fix it.
Right.
And everybody's beat up.
Right.
And then Tony realizes, and it's like, well, since they needed to have to have enough power to generate 120 million Kelvin degrees, the only place that can be done.
Is Stark Tower.
Stark Tower.
Right.
So he was like, oh shit, they're at Stark Tower.
Right.
So they gather the team together, get on a Quinjet, and take off towards Stark Tower.
Right, but they're already there. Selvig's already on the roof.
Yes.
Tapping into the power of the juice.
And the wormhole is being opened.
Right. Yes. So they're already too late. Because, you know, once it's open, you know, it's done.
Right, and so honestly for me, and so, you know, obviously I think we're all kind of now used to these longer movies. I mean, Inception was a very long movie. Dark Knight Rises was a very long movie, which is also 2012.
Lord of the Rings and
Hobbit. Right. But I mean, this movie, again, remember, I didn't read as many comic books as you guys, but I'm like, okay, this is like, oh, there's another act. I mean, oh, there's another. I mean, every time I'm thinking,
we're getting to the final act,
right? Which is the big battle,
the Battle of New York,
which honestly is kind of a short scene. It's maybe
it's
a
only 20 minutes.
Okay, I would say maybe a half an hour. Right?
They spent the whole entire movie
building up to
the Avengers,
and
right.
still all the little pieces, all the spinning plates, all work. Because at this point we have over 12 characters now
that have been introduced. It's a busy movie,
yeah, on all the plates are spinning, and nothing is nothing feels confusing
and nothing's
or bogged
gelled.
Down.
And part of the purpose of that battle scene is us seeing the characters interacting and
how
they can use their powers to work together to defeat this enemy, and you know, using the combination of all their abilities to defeat people.
And the what makes them and how they work together.
And makes them the Avengers.
Yes.
And then, and again, when remember, I think Tony flies back to Stark Tower, yes, and Loki's there. Or Loki's directing, yes,
and
you know, the wormhole.
He's taking his armor off because like, he had patched it together to get it to work, so it's damaged.
Right, and remember, Loki says, "You come here to beg," or something. He's like, "No, I'm here to threaten you." He's like, "Would you like a drink?" He's like, "Are you threatening?" He's like, "No, I'm still threatening you." And he's explaining it, and I'm gonna botch the line. He says, "You know, we might not be able to save Earth, but we're damn well going to avenge it." And, yeah, that's kind of the linchpin.
He says, "We have a team. You may have heard of us, the Avengers, Earth's Mightiest Heroes."
Right.
Which is, of course, that was the tagline on the comic book. So when you would buy the comics, it would say Avengers, and above it said Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
Gotcha.
And yeah. He goes like, "This is we we're hard getting traction."
Right. He's kind of throwing a little shade. He's like, he's being a little,
Because Loki says, "Yeah, I've seen them in action."
They do something that harkens back to the early 70s Iron Man, because every time that something happened, technology, they had to like update Iron Man's armor to make it more futuristic.
Sure.
So they did this thing that made it so far. The suit is taken off of him,
right?
Well, yeah, he had these wristbands that would pull his armor like from another dimension and put it on him.
Yes, that was very cool.
So in this one, he puts these bracelets on because they're focus points. Because he tells Jarvis to deploy the new suit, and these bracelets is what the suit uses to lock in on him.
To find him, basically.
Right, because he makes this drink, and he's having the drink, and Loki's
bracelets on.
And they're behind the bar. Yes. He's like doing like stealth.
So Loki can't see him.
Right, exactly what he's
and
doing.
The reason why he's talking to this is because the suit is still being built.
Correct.
So he's stalling as much as he possibly can.
Right.
And that's why at the very last minute,
right, he jumps. He's like, "Wait, now, Jarvis." He's like, now.
Deploy.
Right. He's like, "Now would be a good time." Right.
Which harkens back to Marvel Infinity Wars, because when Iron Man makes Spider-Man's suit deploy.
Mm.
So he's using the same idea.
Okay.
So it's just because Spider-Man's wearing an iron, a tech suit, so that's why the new suit was able to deploy to him, because they knew how to find him because of the tech suit he was wearing. Now back to this one, he gets the new armor, which is 90% done. I don't think it's completely built, but it's functional.
It's functional, right? Well, I mean, because remember, he's stalling to get the suit done. He's also stalling to get the other people in town, right? Because they're flying. It's his tower, right?
Stark
Tower. He knows it, but he's waiting for all the cast of characters literally now to come in.
And they still don't know where Thor or
no,
or,
no, they
or
don't.
Hulk is.
No. So it's Hawkeye,
and
it's Black Widow,
and
it's Captain America.
Yeah. And on the Quinjet.
Right, exactly. And of course, and it's Iron Man. So they're there to fight, this invading, marauding force.
Thor shows up, and then they're like, okay, the invasion starts happening.
Right, and they're like, okay, we gotta battle these foes, basically.
Yeah, so Thor goes, then Captain America basically takes control, and Thor go up top, as they're flying through the portal, try to take him out.
Right.
Right,
he's directing traffic. He's being a good soldier. He's being a captain, right,
yes,
which is what he should be doing.
Hawkeye, you take out, Black Widow, you take it out. And then he goes, the Hulk, smash,
right. And
we skipped a scene when Bruce Banner pulls up in a motorcycle. This looks bad.
Right. Right, exactly. So again, he's back to Bruce Banner.
And he goes, "You want to know my secret?" And Iron Man's flying around taking care of all this, and he encounters a Leviathan.
Right.
And he goes, "I'm bringing the party to you."
Right.
And the creature is chasing Iron Man, and Black Widow goes, "That's not a party. I don't think that's a party."
Right. Right. And then he's still Bruce Banner, and I think he goes, "You know what, Natasha, you know what my secret is?"
He says, I'm always angry.
And
he changes
right at
the same time he punches, takes out the Leviathan.
Leviathan, one punch. Right, exactly.
Right.
I mean, he just levels it, basically. Right,
yeah,
right.
And then they go nuts, and they get put on the ropes again
in
the battle. You think, this is it, we got it. No, they get pushed on the ropes. Captain America nearly gets blown to smithereens. The Hulk is being taken out by all those people. Hawkeye runs out of arrows. He tries to shoot Loki.
Right.
Loki catches the arrow, thinking it's a normal arrow, because Hawkeye wants to put an arrow through his eye.
Yes.
Almost gets away with it. And then Loki doesn't know it's a bomb. It goes off, takes out Loki. Loki falls on...
falls off the little spaceship that he's on. Or yes.
And then everybody is against on the ropes, and then they get a breather, and they come back from it.
Right.
And then Nick Fury is like arguing with the shadows.
This goes back to this, what I said earlier. The security council is saying, because they're saying, look, you don't have it under control. Your force, your Avengers.
Yeah, we're sending a nuclear bomb to New York.
Right, and he's arguing with him. No, you can't do that. It's millions of people on the island of Manhattan. They go, look, we'd rather sacrifice Manhattan than the whole planet.
Yeah.
It's not under control. We're taking control.
We're calling the shot.
And they send out a fighter
and
to shoot the
nuclear. Yeah, Nick Fury tries to take out the fighter. He takes out the wrong one.
Right. He takes out one fighter. Right. Another fighter, basically. Right.
And the other deck takes off.
Right.
And then he calls Iron Man and goes like, you got a nuclear missile coming at you?
Right. He says, right. And so, right. And it's like, okay. Right. And so they're winning at that point. He goes, no, we have another problem. And he's like, no, we have a real big problem.
Yeah, 2 minute problem because it's 2 minutes away.
Right.
And so Tony, in this partially filled, finished armor, and it's not space worthy, but he still takes.
He grabs the nuclear missile and directs it through the wormhole.
Right.
They're about to close. Right. Exactly.
And they're about to close the wormhole.
Yeah, they want to close the wormhole, and he's like, "No." And he says, "I got to get this up in there." And they do it, and they're like, "Okay, you got to get out of there, or we're going to close this." Can you hear us?
And then
his suit is not designed for space, but he takes it out there.
Right.
He watches it explode, and he's
"What he does is." He takes it and he directs it into the mothership of the alien.
Of the Chitauri.
Right, and it explodes.
Which takes out the control of all the soldiers, a la
Phantom Menace, the droid army just goes numb when the NASA ship
goes. And during the commentary, Josh Wheaton said, like, I didn't really have an idea to do this cleanly. Because you weren't going to have them fight and chase down all these groups of characters.
But this is a good way to do it, right?
Yeah, he had to cleanly do it. And so they all fall. Tony Stark's armor shuts down because it wasn't meant for space. And they could close the wormhole.
Right.
They do.
What about Iron Man? Close the wormhole. This is Captain America. They give the order.
Yeah.
So he falls just in the nick of time.
Comes through just before the wormhole closes.
Right.
And he falls, and he's like, he's not pulling out of this.
Right.
The Hulk and grabs him and crashes to the ground, but saves him and does what he in the comic books. There's been a couple of times when Tony Stark gets stuck in his armor and he can't breathe.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. It becomes a tomb, and the Hulk grabs the face mech and tears it off.
Right.
So you're thinking, like, you know, at any point in time, if the Hulk had punched Iron Man, that would have been it for him, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so he tears the helmet off, and he's like, oh, my God, he's dead. And instead of doing
CPR...
They're
standing around him, basically.
Yeah, then the Hulk screams, which the shockwave does the same thing as CPR.
Right, pretty much.
He wakes him up, and then the second major ad-libbed line happens in the film, which is, did we win? We won. Great, let's take tomorrow off.
Right.
Wait. You know, there's a shawarma shop a couple of blocks away.
There's a place with shawarma down
there. Right.
So why don't we go there and celebrate?
Two blocks away.
Yay!
And they're like, what's shawarma? He's like, I don't know, but it sounds good.
Right.
And then they rushed to make the scene several weeks later. And the
that was actually filmed after the world premiere.
Yes.
Okay, let me say this. If I remember, I didn't stay for them. I mean, again, at that point... I'm not really, you know.
Nobody's conditioned at the
nobody's
point.
Nobody's conditioned to the staying after the credits type of thing. So, you know, remember, this is a very long movie.
Even in
2012, it's a very long movie by movie standards. You know, the new Star Wars movies didn't come out. You know, like Dark Knight Rises came out later in 2012, which was as long as Avengers or maybe a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
Dark Knight was pretty long, but Dark Knight Rises was as long as this one. So, you're starting to get used to these two and a half hour movies, 2-hour and 40-minute movies. So trust me. I mean, I had the big soda, I had the big Coke.
Everybody had to go.
Right. So I mean, I don't want to stay. There were several of us there. We didn't want to stay. We would left. So I don't think I saw the scene until I got the DVD.
Now here's the strange, the funny part is they filmed this four times.
The Thanos scene. Oh, the shawarma scene. Okay,
yeah.
I'm sorry. Okay.
And because they show Thor wolfing down these things, he says that after the second take, he obviously had to do the same thing. He kept on having to throw it up, because he
spit it out.
Yeah, because he was so full from wolfing.
And then if you notice, go ahead. Captain America is sitting there with his hand over his face like this because. Yes. Chris Evans was filming a different film, so his hair was cut differently, and he'd grown a beard. So they put a wig on him and a fake jaw, but the fake jaw didn't look right, so he had to sit there holding the fake
jaw
in
place. That's why he was doing that.
But it works because they're supposed to be, like, exhausted.
I just thought he was sitting on his Well, I thought he was exhausted, plus he's like, he's from the 1940s, they're not really shawarma. So he's kind of, again, a fish out of water, so he's like, okay, I'll just watch.
So they had to do it that way.
Yeah, I didn't know that was interesting.
Yeah, and it that scene worked. Now the after credit scene, which sets
now that's now
up.
That's the shawarma scenes at the very end. The very end. So the mid credit scene is where we see the leader of the Chitauri talking to a figure you don't really see.
You see his back,
but then at the end he turns his head.
It's
the face of Thanos.
Right.
Now
yes,
we all know who Thanos. We all know who Thanos is now.
He doesn't say. He has no speaking. He just looks and he smiles.
But the thing is, it's not Josh Brolin.
It's not Josh Brolin, but it is Thanos.
Yes.
Now, we didn't know who Thanos was then. Or at least,
no,
well,
I don't know.
People from the comics who follow the comics.
I didn't know who the average
movie viewer did. But if you think about it, in 2012, they were already planning to set up Infinity War then.
Of course.
That's another 14 films away, and everything is all planned out.
Right.
And
the seeds have been planted.
Yeah.
Because,
like I said, I saw that Thanos scene. I'm like, wow, he's a nasty.
He's blue, not purple.
Yeah. And the other thing was, when I first saw the film at the theater, and after the movie, I'm going to the bathroom or whatever because I had the large soda or whatever. But I hear people talking, and somebody was like, "Was that Hellboy at the end of the film?" Because his chin kind of looks like Hellboy. Obviously, somebody who didn't know that was Thanos.
He was
trying to guess. Okay, what comic character is that?
Right. Yeah, and my mind is racing when I first saw this. In fact, I almost burst into tears. I was so happy to see this. It's like, does that mean the next film is going to be Infinity War, Infinity Gauntlet? Where can this be?
I didn't know who it was. I mean, I said, well, that's a nasty ass. Because first of all, he's orchestrating. Because of course,
pulling all the strings.
Right. And of course, he's not even looking at the guy, who's like on his knees, he said the humans are more powerful than we thought. And so he's like begging for forgiveness.
He says the famous line from the comic books, and he says that whoever goes against these humans are courting death.
Yes, right. And so, but he's like pleading for his life. It's almost like it's like the Imperial captain pleading to Darth Vader, to the Emperor, and you expect it to go really bad.
At this point, we didn't know where this was going to go.
No.
So thinking of the comic line, because see, Thanos is in love with death, and death isn't real being in the comic books.
Comics, right.
Yeah, it's like how chaos is a real being, the universe is a real being.
Courting death.
He's like, I like her.
Yeah, I focused on this scene because I didn't know who Thanos was when I saw this in 2012, but now I know. He turns and he smiles.
Yeah,
because
that triggered it.
Right. Mm-hmm. So he's happy.
Yeah.
He wants this to happen.
Yes, because
he wants the court.
He wants death's attention because he wants her to love him. So in the comic books, he wipes out the universe to get her attention, and she's like, "Well, you've killed everybody. I'm out of work." So I oversimplified dozens of issues, but
right.
That's
yeah, no, no, no,
but
no.
But if you and then if you look at it, the end of the film too, that instead of the Avengers now being still united as a team, they all go their separate ways.
Yes,
because Thor takes Loki
off
and the Tesseract to go back to
Asgard. And the Bifrost is still broken, so they had to use dark energy and the Tesseract to go off planet, so they can't come back.
Right, and again, at this point, we only, what we now know, there's only one stone, Infinity Stone, is the Tesseract. There's nothing else.
We don't know anything else.
No, there's no, there's,
I mean, we don't even know about the Infinity Stone. We don't even know it's an Infinity Stone.
No, we just know it's some cosmic.
And there was one in Loki's Scepter, too.
Yes.
Right, right.
Yeah, but that's the Mind Stone, but we don't know that that's a stone.
We had no idea why.
But wait, the Tesseract, the one in the Scepter and the Tesseract are different?
Yes. Those are two different ones, yes.
Yes.
So the one in the Tesseract is the Mind Stone, which eventually ends up in Vision's forehead.
Right.
And then the Tesseract is it the Space Stone?
Space Stone.
Right. Okay, all right.
That's because they opened up dimensions.
But nothing this is not touched on, this is not this. Right, it's
not even mentioned, not talked about, nothing.
Right. So we're not even at the first pitch of Infinity Stones.
No, the line is that he courts, you know, anybody that goes after the humans courts death. Is the only thing referring to the comic book.
But I didn't know that.
No, right. They just put the tiniest little hint.
Little breadcrumb.
And then walked away.
Right.
And you're like, what just happened?
Right, but again, so that was May of 2012, at least released in the States.
Yeah. We're still six years away.
Right,
and
6 years away.
Phase 2 and Phase 3 to go
14 movies.
Well, yeah, because we're up to 20 films now. This was the sixth film.
Yes. Right, so 14.
So another, 13 films because Ant-Man and the Wasp came after it. But
13 movies, you know, more and 6 years.
And they're playing the long game now.
Oh, yeah.
They hit their stride. They have a new company that is going to distribute with them, so they don't have to fight so much for distributions.
Right. Well, they'll distribute for them. They'll finance it, right?
Because now they're owned by Disney.
Right. And they still have several on the docket that Disney says, we're not going to touch because you already started these.
Right.
So they're still their own beings.
But let's be honest. At the end, I mean, as I said earlier in this discussion, there are people outside of this room, but we've talked about it too, that literally said, I saw Avengers, I can die happy. They said, I fulfilled
Kevin
all...
Kevin Smith cried.
Right, they said, I could fulfill all my comic book dreams after seeing this movie. And that's what people told me.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, that's cool. I said, but who's the guy at the end? And they go, oh, wow. And
that's
basically what I'm trying to say is that really this is like a supercar, and they're literally at like, you think... they're at top speed. I mean, they're literally, you know, they're firing on all cylinders at this point. There's no question about it. So it's only...
You think they're done. You can't go any farther with this.
Well, I mean, I don't think they're done.
They
peaked. Right, they won the battle. You know, everybody's there.
Yeah.
Right, yada, yada. You know, they saved the world, right? I mean, they didn't kill everybody, but everything goes home. Everybody goes home happy, so to speak.
Everybody scatters to the four winds, and
but
we're
done. That's what people told me. They said, I can die happy tomorrow. Because the Avengers made it on screen.
I was satisfied.
I was too. And I felt that this was the first time I really felt that the feel of a Marvel comic story was presented on the screen. Because you'd had the X-Men movies on Fox. You'd had the Spider-Man movies with Sony. You'd have the Fantastic Four movies. And those were those characters, but they didn't feel like a Marvel movie.
No.
And this one... because of the way the characters interacted, the way they were fighting with each other, with the way they showed their unique personality traits, and everybody's a little bit flawed. They're three-dimensional characters.
Yes.
And the humor, the humorous banter and the dialogue, I just felt like, okay, they have finally taken what was on the Marvel pages and put it on the big screen.
Yes. It was just...
It was very satisfying for me.
I couldn't think of anything they could have changed to make it
better. So again... I'm going to ask you, Ethan, I'm going to ask you, Patrick, since you're much more into these comics than me and maybe some of our listeners. So if a bomb hit Marvel Studios and they died and they would have never made the other movies, you would have been okay. You would have been okay, that's it.
Or if Disney said, okay, we own you, we're shutting you down.
Right, you say, okay, we saw it.
That I would have been
I don't know if I'd go that far.
No, but I mean,
I would have been satisfied if Disney came along and says, you know, we own you guys. We're going to shut you down for a while until we figure out what we want to do with
sure,
it.
Sure.
I would have went, oh, we're never going to see what's happening with Thanos. But
right.
I would have been.
But
okay
it was a culmination,
it.
Like you said, it was a culmination of all the pieces were finally put together on screen.
I couldn't see past this because
me too.
You know, I was like, I'm done.
So what are they going to do next?
Right.
Yeah.
How do you top that?
How do you top this? Little do we know.
Right. Exactly.
Somebody dared them to top that, and they split the arrow every single time, and it's like, okay, you hit the bullseye.
Well, and like we talked about going into this film, you know, the expectations were, how can they pull it off?
Right, right. There's characters. A lot of doubting people.
But here, they proved it. Not only did they pull it off, the story works. It was well received by audiences and by critics alike. And then it grosses $1 billion. So it becomes one of the highest grossing films. Fastest to a billion.
Right.
So that, and I mean, worldwide. Worldwide. Right. So that it just shows it appealed to everybody. Everything worked. And to me, this was also when you kind of saw the explosion in the popularity of Marvel films. And it was after this film, people are like, oh, I've got to go see the next Marvel film. I've got to go see the next Marvel film. You know what? Because now the bar has been set that people have this expectation. Okay, Marvel is on the plate. It's on the name. Then I know I'm in for a good time. I know I'm going to see a great blockbuster.
Which really
film.
Makes it hard for them because they can they've set the bar and they can never dip below this bar. They can't.
So they keep
even
building,
slightly.
They keep building on it. It's like the foundation. It's like Tetris. You have to keep building and building.
Right. But the thing is, they can't. You know, and the way that this set up, this sets everything up going forward. They can't stumble. They can't mess anything up.
Right.
And everything has to work on all cylinders like Avengers did. That bar has been set. This is the baseline going forward.
Right.
Because, you know, there's little stumbles in all these movies up to this point. They've hit their stride. They're hitting all cylinders. And they can never, ever go deviate from this.
Right.
Because that's what
Although I,
what
I
people
would argue
expected.
That some of the films to come after this don't quite hit this bar. But they were still
strong
enough to keep the machine going.
The momentum going.
Yeah.
Because to me, I would still place this among at least the top three of the Marvel films.
It has to be in the top three.
It's in the top three easily. And it's hard to pick exactly which one's the best one. But,
right.
But I would still put this Avengers film in the top three.
So is this a buy, stream, rent, or skip?
I would rate it a buy.
It's a buy. Yeah,
I have to agree. It's a buy.
I have the DVD. This is a culmination. This literally pulls all the pieces. But I'm going to tell you this, and we'll talk about it in a future podcast. But you know, there's many people that said, okay, how do we top this? And then when Captain America: Winter Soldier hits.
Oh, that's another one that's in the top three for
people
me.
Just yeah, geek, people just people that were geeked about Avengers even said, okay, this is even better than Avengers because it throws it. It was a – anyway, we'll discuss it, but it was such
a genre
such,
piece.
It's a genre piece.
It's a political thriller.
It's a political thriller being
done as a superhero movie.
Right, right, right. And it makes you question a lot about the Avengers, about S.H.I.E.L.D.
Don't forget this the year the Avengers came out, they also introduced Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. the TV series.
Okay, in 2012. Yes. Okay, yes. Yeah.
So
it was 2013 actually.
2013.
So right after this came out,
you know, started the momentum that we have today. Now we've done this. Next week, we're going to be doing a blank.
It's Iron Man 3, I believe.
Iron Man 3 or Thor 2?
Winter Soldier is a couple of movies down the
line. Oh, is it really?
Yes. It's after Thor Dark World.
I have to see Thor Dark World again. I liked it, but that's the weakest Thor movie.
The weakest of the Thors,
right.
Yes.
And I almost want to say it's one of the weakest of the MCU.
Yes, yeah, I would agree. It's crucial because of the Loki part. Right?
Yes.
It's crucial to the MCU story.
It is.
Oh, absolutely.
It's weak in the chain, but it doesn't break it. So I think it is Iron Man 3.
I'm pulling it up right now. Yes, okay. Iron Man 3 is the start of Phase 2.
Okay.
That's May 2013. So it's Iron Man 3, then Thor Dark World, then Winter Soldier.
Okay. Okay.
So then Guardians.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Age of
Guardians
Ultron.
Guardians 2014.
And then Ant-Man. That's all Phase 2. So Iron Man 3, Thor Dark World, Captain America Winter Soldier, Guardians of the Galaxy, Avengers Age of Ultron, and Ant-Man. Those all make up Phase 2.
Phase 2. So next week is Iron Man 3, one of my favorites, because it shows all the armors up to that point.
Mm-hmm. That is correct, yes.
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 And it introduces hints at Ironheart, the character called Rescue, which is the armor that Pepper Pot wears in the comics.
Mm, okay.
It's hinted she wears it for a little while, but they don't really do it. But anyway, well, listen for that next week. Now, don't forget to go to iTunes or Google Podcast or Stitcher and rate and review us on there. You can reach
subscribe.
Us. Subscribe. Please subscribe. You can go to our website to listen to them all, as well as geekculture.online. You can go to Facebook at Geek Culture Online. You go to Instagram at Geek Culture Online. You can go to our favorite on Twitter at
Your Geek Culture. Tweet us.
Yes, please. You can write to me directly at patrick@geekculture.online. You can write to larry@geekculture.online. You can write to Ethan. He loves the emails, so send them. And he also likes fan art.
We all like fan art.
Ethan, we all do, yes.
Yes. In fact, I would like to see something for the Avengers from fan art. Especially
that would be
Iron
cool.
Man.
That would be cool. Yeah, oh, to see like an Avengers, like a compilation of the Avengers. That'd be kind of cool. Yeah, I'd like to see that, listeners. So send it to us.
In fact, I tell you what, I'm going to throw this out right now. This is the you send us your version of Marvel Avengers on the next podcast, the best one. I will announce the winner and. What we'll do, not in the next, we'll give it a month.
We'll
announce it, and I will give reward them with a brand new Avengers comic.
Patrick will announce it at the time of his choice. So, again, don't delay, listeners. Send in the artwork so we can all review it, Patrick and all of us.
We'll all judge it.
Because we're curious. And then at a time, at a secret time and place, Patrick will make an announcement.
And we'll obviously post it on the website.
Right. So,
all the entries.
So again, like the Facebook page so you get the updates. Mm-hmm. Follow on Twitter so you can get the tweet that Patrick will send out that will announce the winner.
Yes. And I will give the latest issue of the new Avengers that's out. They don't call it the Mighty Avengers. It's called the New Avengers now. All right. Well, I'm Patrick.
I'm Larry.
I'm Ethan.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye.